Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and you're listening to A Story and a Song. As a musician, I share stories behind the music that I write, as well as teachings from some of my favorite musicians. So let me start with an expression from Joey Weisenberg's book, The Torah of Music, which everybody that's serious about singing for God needs to have. So on the bottom of page 3, it says, "Music awakens in us the spirit of life itself." On only its second page, the Talmud relates that the northern wind blew on King David's harp, waking up the great king. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov elaborates on this statement by saying, now really think about what I'm saying here. The northern wind is the spirit hidden in the heart of each person, and this is the spirit of life. So if you know or want to know about this hidden spirit within your soul, each one of us, and how to awaken that soul by singing, then you're in the right place. So get yourself comfortable, find something to write with and write on, a quiet place where you won't be distracted, hopefully. And I will be right back after this brief message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, Deborah Cohen Music, and I'm so glad that you took the time to listen to my podcast, A Story and a Song. It's about my life to share some wisdom and some mistakes, hopefully that we can learn from together and laugh at maybe, starting in the 80s in a new wave rock band in Boston, with 2 singles that are still available on Spotify, Boston Nights and Dreamin'. And then on my worldly journey that we're all on, I morphed into a spiritually dominant being where I am a truth seeker and write songs of praise while having 1 foot in the world writing sync music. So listen up and share. Okay, and we're back. And this is Deborah Cohen, and I hope that you're interested in this topic because everybody has a soul that lives on after the physical body passes. And that soul is built in with a special voice to sing. It's beyond your physical faculties, but you start by singing with your physical voice and learn to develop that soul voice that's hidden within. So I think this is amazing. And I have experienced this, which is why I teach it, because I want everybody to feel the bliss of soul singing. So I'm going to share some excerpts from this book, Internal Redemption, and especially, again, from Joey Weisenberg, one of my favorite teachers of leading music in a congregation to involve everybody, not just getting up there and singing and everybody else listens, which is like performance. It's not performance. It's worship, it's praise, and it's something that we all can do if we are interested and want to learn. The obligation to sing, says Joey Weisenberg after Miracles, singing is the ultimate expression of freedom, an essential rejoicing at the end of a cycle of suffering. Music is a recognition of the miracles of life, and I personally have experienced many miracles, including healings, amazing, miraculous healings. One day I'll write a book about it, but we're not going to talk about it in detail today. The most famous freedom song of our tradition is the Song of the Sea. It begins, quote, "And thus Moshe Rabbeinu sang with all of the children of Israel this song to God," end quote. So notice that it says all. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say with only those people that think they can sing. It says all. So that's you and that's me. This song recounts the stunning moment when Moses and the Israelites escaped the slavery of Egypt by walking through the Sea of Reeds on dry land. It was sung by Moses, Miriam, the dancing women, and the entire Jewish people. So if you're listening and you're Jewish, that means you. And if you're reading the Bible, that's you. So that comes from entire Jewish people is from the Talmud. Bavli Sota 30b, in case you're wondering what all means. You can read it in the Talmud. It has become the most important song of freedom in our tradition, reminding us of the birth of our nation. According to one midrash, even the fetuses in their mothers' bellies sang along. Why do you think today we figured it out that when a woman is pregnant, we put headphones of classical music playing on the belly of mom because the baby can hear in the belly of the mother? But the Song of the Sea was only one of many songs of freedom sung by our ancestors. Almost all of the war heroes and righteous leaders of the Tanakh immediately sang songs and praises upon averting tragedy or upon bringing their people from suffering to freedom, as can be seen in this top 10 list of songs from the Tanakh, as described in the Megillta. And the reason I'm sharing this, not only for Pesach, Passover, is because I'm working on a project to compile a collection of songs in the Bible in a CD designed in chronological order of the Jewish history as a teaching tool to see the importance of singing after every victory we experience. If you want to know more about what songs they are, I suggest you try to find this book. Maybe it'll be online, Internal Redemption by the Hadar Institute. Or you can wait until my CD comes out with the 10 songs of redemption, but that probably won't be ready till 2025. All right. So perhaps we can say even that after a miracle, you must sing. After looking at this selection of songs in the Bible, and if you're really a seeker, you can dig them out. Starting with Exodus 15:1 is a song. Isaiah 30:29, sung in Egypt. Exodus 15:1 is the second song that was sung at the Reed Sea. The third was at the well, Numbers 21:17, etc., etc. I'm not going to tell you all of them because I want you to dig yourself. Find an interest. All right. The Haggadah, for example, obligates us to sing after recounting the story of the miraculous exodus from Egypt. And that's what my brain is in half Hebrew and English. One part of my brain wants to say Pesach, and the other half of the brain's trying to say Passover. Okay, they're both the same, right? Okay, so in the Haggadah, it says, therefore, we are obligated to thank, praise, loud, glorify, lavish, bless, raise high, and celebrate the one who made all these miracles for our ancestors and for us, who brought us out of slavery to freedom, from sorrow to joy, from mourning to this good day, from darkness to great light, and from servitude to redemption. And I must mention that we must be continually staying in prayer for God, Hashem, to release the captives that are now being held by Hamas in Israel. But still, we must move on in our journey. We're not forgetting these people or anybody else, because Israel is a collective soul. And when one Jew is hurting, the whole body, the whole soul feels it. That doesn't mean that we all stop in our tracks. That's what Hamas wants. We move on and we ask God to help us and do what we can to make it happen. So getting back to the Haggadah. And so let us sing before God a new song. Hallelujah. So how do you get a new song? Well, you can look in the scripture and see what bubbles up in your spirit. We're trying to connect our soul voice with audible sound. It's something that we first need to learn to be aware of. Each one of us has a soul built into this physical body because we are not a physical body per se. We are a living soul with a physical body built around it. So when you look at me or yourself in the mirror, you're looking at your physical reflection, but look deeply into the window of your eyes to see the content of who you are as a soul. That soul has a voice in it. Everyone. It's a beautiful voice. So the first thing you have to do if you don't sing, because somebody told you you can't, been there, done that, you have to teach yourself these things I'm telling you and have the courage to find the soul voice. The only way it comes out is by practicing singing. First, with your physical voice that you might criticize in your own mind or somebody else might say, ooh, please don't. Find a safe place to go, even if it's in your car, and get those nasty voices out of your head. Those people that criticize, they're just looking at the physical dimension of a human being. Probably they don't know anything about a soul voice, but you found out today because you're here listening. And I encourage you, because there's such freedom to find the expression of your soul voice, but it's very intimate and you need to protect yourself. You don't want to try to practice singing your soul voice around naysayers, around people that hurt you with their words. No, don't. You've got to find a safe place to sing. That's why I'm petitioning my synagogue to create a soul sing circle where everybody has the opportunity in front of our people to find that soul voice and sing. It's so liberating. It's freedom. So consider the story of one who forgot to sing. With dire consequences, a great miracle happened for the righteous Jewish king, Hezekiah. The Assyrian army of Sennacherib had razed dozens of smaller cities and was perched outside of Jerusalem, ready to invade, when the whole army was destroyed overnight by divine intervention. Hezekiah, who was known for his great righteousness and piety, unfortunately neglected to sing a song of praise to the Holy One after this miracle. According to the Talmud, had he only sung a song of praise, Hezekiah would have become the Mashiach. Whoa, really? Well, chew on that for a little while, will you? Now, of course, that's something in the Talmud. Somebody got the revelation that that is a fact. And there's something about singing to God in a higher plane of elevation that makes you closer to God. In the Talmud, Bavli, Sanhedrin 94a, it states, the Holy Blessed One wanted to make King Hezekiah the Mashiach. The attribute of judgment came before the Holy Blessed One and said, quote, Master of the universe, if David, king of Israel, who sang so many songs and praises before you, you did not make a Messiah, then Hezekiah, for whom you performed all these miracles but sang before you not one song, you'll make him the Messiah? Question mark, end quote. And God listened. Later in the story, the earth tries to rescue Hezekiah's chance at becoming the Messiah by singing for him. The earth sings. But it didn't work. He needed to sing himself. And that's what I'm telling you listening. You need to sing for yourself to God. This is a place for you to start doing this. According to the Yalchut Shemoneh, the transformation that might follow a miracle is predicated upon taking the time to sing a song to the Holy One. In Yalchut Shemoneh number 254, for all you scholars out there, it is well known that everyone for whom a miracle has been performed and who subsequently sings a song will be forgiven all their sins and will become a new creature. Yes, who wants to become a new creature? I do. If we don't sing after each miracle that we experience, no matter how big or small, we may miss tremendous opportunities for personal and global transformation. Since each day, each moment is a miracle. Perhaps those are the reasons to sing, even without awaiting a special miracle. So, I'm learning how to garden. I'm here in beautiful Florida. My husband and I have been here for 6 months. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So I wanted to plant a fig tree because of all of the biblical connotation with the fig. And besides, I know eating a fig brings good health. So I tried planting them from seeds that I got, and the fig seeds they're still dormant. I went ahead and bought a 2-year-old plant and planted it this past weekend. And singing over the plant. If my neighbors are watching me, they probably think I'm tutti frutti. But you know what? Singing for the miracle of life, even if it's your garden, it's a miracle. Sing, make up a song for your vegetables. I'm not joking, people. It's glorious to be able to sing. Singing is not limited to the already free, to the post-miracle existence. Indeed, we sing songs while yet enslaved to remind ourselves of our humanity, to recognize our path towards freedom. We sing to create freedom, to generate the very miracles that we hope for. As shown above in the Mechilta's top 10 list of songs that I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, that I'm going to write these songs and record 10 of them from Bible history on a CD and include people from our congregation that have the understanding of the soul sing. The first song that was sung by the Jews was sung while still in Egypt, and only the second upon its emancipation. Think about this, people. If you pray from the Siddur, the songs are in there. In some congregations, they don't sing the songs, they read them. Oy vavoy, oh no. In the depths of slavery, the Israelites cry out. They make noise. They sing the blues. It goes up to God and activates God. Not from your head voice, meaning not from your mind song, but from your soul. Learning to sing from your soul. Mincha Metzar, the verse from Psalms that we sing on festivals and before sounding the shofar, which I haven't yet heard in my congregation, reminds us that if we sing or call out while we're still caught in a state of narrowness, Metzar is the narrowness of Egypt, being in the Mitzrayim, in the narrow place. Just because we are children of God doesn't mean that we're not going to have to suffer, walk through that valley of the shadow of death. But we are supposed to fear no evil because the Lord Hashem is with us. While we're still caught in a state of narrowness, of constricted consciousness, then we may find our freedom and experience a divine expansiveness in soul singing. In Psalm 118:5, from the narrow place I called out to God. I was answered with divine expansiveness. given that no one is entirely free or entirely enslaved, and that we're all on a continuum between servitude and self-determination, there's no reason to wait to sing. No reason. Freedom is expressed through song, but yet our songs themselves may very well lead to freedom. So if you're in bondage, even if you have to sing the blues, sing to God and tell Him. Psalm 103 is a good one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, and crowns you and me with love and kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouths with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Blessed am I, O my soul. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's Psalm 103. Okay. Freedom is expressed through song, but yet our songs themselves may very well lead to freedom. At the moment that we open our mouths, are we not already free? Yes, we are. If you're able to open your mouth and sing, then you're on the road to freedom. But if you are standing there with your mouth ready to be open, and then all of a sudden pops the voice, you can't sing. Believe me, I've heard it from my mother. Or do us a favor and don't sing. Or get the hook, they used to say. People can be really cruel with their words, not realizing you can shut somebody down by saying things that are unkind. Yes, I actually had to go to counseling to get over the horrible things said to me about singing. I stopped singing when I was a teenager and had to go to counseling in my early 20s because I wanted to be in a rock band, but those negative voices were so strong in my head. I was afraid. I actually was afraid to sing in front of people. So I had to go to a special counselor. Her name was Sylvia, and she helped me to sing before her first without shaking like a leaf. And you can't sing when your body is fighting you that way. You can get help and overcome it. And it's a constant reaching for God. You never achieve perfection in your soul singing because the physical body limits things. This is a finite thing, trying to express song with an infinite soul singing. It's such a dichotomy. Okay, so Tikkun Zohar, Introduction 3a, Israel will arise from exile in song. Picture it, when the Mashiach comes, we're all going to be singing. So why not start practicing now so you can belt it out with your family, humankind, when the Mashiach comes? Through the process of composing divine songs, we will build the worlds we dream of. We will transcend our trapped situations, and we will yet emerge from our exiles, where we will then sing again with the voice that God gave each one of us. And now as we gather at the Seder for Pesach, let's sing Hallel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Some people think it's hallelujah, but it's in Hebrew, it's hallelujah. Hallel means to sing to God. When you sing hallelujah, you're saying in English, sing to the Holy One. Hallelujah. Do you sing with gusto or do you sing like a statue? Hallelujah. Or maybe you don't sing at all in the congregation. You just look around at people and listen to everybody else, but you don't sing yourself. Nobody told you that you have a soul that wants to sing. And as we read in this teaching, nobody else can do it for you. So if you're going to say, I don't have a voice to sing, I'll let them up there at the bima or the altar sing for me because I croak like a frog. Wrong. You have to erase that thinking and say, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know that God birthed in my soul the equipment to sing. Now, maybe it needs a lot of polishing, but just like a diamond, it's like carbon. You need to polish it and turn it into a diamond. So let's be diamonds together and learn and encourage one another. It might mean that you have to say to some people that hurt you with their words, you know, this doesn't work for me anymore. You know, I think it's time to part, you know, go a different way. If you can't say nice things to me, I really need to move on. I love you, but I can't be with you. And just move on and find people that want to help you to sing. Look for a local singing circle in your area and get going. Discover the song in your soul. And as in closing, I thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time for a story and a song. And if you don't have any place to celebrate Pesach, a.k.a. Passover, or you don't want to sit there for 3 hours, my husband and I are going to do an online Passover celebration Monday night. Let's see, what date is that? I got to put my glasses on so I can see the calendar. April 22nd, 2024. Join us on Facebook. Look for the page. Let's see if I can find the picture for you. Look for the page on Facebook. It's called Passover Prelude with Marty and Deborah Cohen. And we'll be live streaming Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join, get all of the elements. We're going to try to make it an hour. You need all the elements, the matzah, the red wine, either the romaine lettuce or the parsley and the horseradish. Don't forget that. And the matzah crackers and an optional egg. But just join us anyway, even if you don't have that, and learn more about celebrating this feast of God. Some Christians are mistaken because they think this is a Jewish holiday only for Jews. Well, you know, if you read Leviticus 23, and I'm talking to the Christians, you'll find in the first chapter that this feast, Pesach or Passover, is God's feast for children of God. So if you're a child of God, it's for whosoever will. Now there are prerequisites or things that are required of you before you can actually sit down at the Pesach table. But if you want to just come because you're curious online, just come to our Facebook page Monday night, the 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and celebrate with us God's Feast of Passover. I thank you for listening and I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday for a story and a song.
Elech Begeisa Jesus.